have written on the board, Spirit of Adoption. And there's a set of scriptures we'll turn and read to open this up. I'll first say that in the literal sense, I've never been adopted, as in literally taken into some other family. But I've spoken with folks that have been adopted and heard of stories as well. In fact, I've heard of more than I've spoke with, but some very moving experiences. Children that seem to have no hope, seem to, their life would just be in shambles, you know, for the rest of their life. But someone took them in and adopted them and gave them a chance to live a fulfilled life. And the gratitude that these adopted folks have in their hearts was amazing to hear. All the different stories they could share. But I want us to turn and read in Romans, the 8th chapter. And we'll start with verse 14. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Now we'll just stop right there and consider what this verse is meaning. As many as are led. You know what that tells me? First of all, it is not excluding anyone. It's saying as many as are led. As long as you're led of the Lord, that could be anyone. If you're willing to be led of the Lord, it says you are the sons of God. And led by the Spirit of God, you are the sons of God. So that's encouraging to start off with, that this is open to anyone. And as we'll read here in just a moment, to anyone to be adopted. It doesn't have, I know there's other, I've thought of different times, I cannot imagine, again, hearing of stories of children in orphanages or whatever that are up for adoption, waiting to be adopted. And I've heard of stories where maybe different potential parents come and visit the orphanage and they visit with the different children. They're trying to figure out who to adopt and everything. And you hear of these stories where the children will get the hopes up that they're going to be chosen. And in the end, they're not. It's someone else. I cannot fathom the emotions a child would go through with the hopes of, I'm going to be rescued, you know. But in this case, it's open to anyone, okay? And then it goes on, verse 15. "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear." Now let's just stop right there and consider what they're talking about. You've not received the spirit of bondage again. What was the spirit of bondage talking about? Basically, the Old Testament laws that they lived under, all the rites and rituals and ceremonies that they carried out, and they were carried out to the greatest extent. But there was never true deliverance. Basically, just forgiveness of their sins and atonement and sacrifice that was made, and then they could go again, but they were left to their own carnal ways again, just to fall in the same trap, the same troubles that they were in before, over and over and over again. So bondage, as in there wasn't any real deliverance, no freedom to be delivered from themselves and from sin. They were in bondage, and in bondage to the law. They just had to keep offering the sacrifices, killing the lambs and all the different animals, and going to the tabernacle and going to the temple and doing all these things and going through the priest and the same rituals year in, year out, same old, same old. I'm sure that got old. And I'm sure there was times where they're thinking, I have to go kill this lamb again. I have to go give this, you know, I got to go do this again. But that was life. All right. There was a bondage there. There wasn't a true freedom that they experienced. And I would dare say, talking about a spirit of bondage, just to think what that is, I look at it this way. It would be, you could call it a spirit of helplessness and fear. Helplessness as in, I just can't help. I just keep doing the same thing over and over again, and we're stuck in this, all these laws and ceremonies and rituals. but a fear of the punishments that you would incur. If you did something, you know, so severe, you could lose your life ultimately. And there was all kinds of different forms of punishments and ways for them to be reprimanded. But again, you just live in a state of fear. And you're like, oh, am I gonna mess up again? Am I gonna fall in this same trap and this snare again? Over and over again. So again, I call it a spirit of helplessness and fear. Again, because the old law did not give any real assistance. And there was no hope of being transformed into something new. It's just the same old, all the time. But then we read on. It says, but ye have received the spirit of adoption. Thank the Lord. It didn't stop there at the Old Testament. That's just half of the story, if you could say. But the rest of the story has a wondrous, glorious ending to it. That we've received the spirit of adoption. That means, of course, in the Old Testament, it's much similar to what we have nowadays. A child could be adopted. Say a family didn't even have any children. And they finally decide, well, we want some children to take on, carry on our name and to take care of everything we leave. So they go adopt some children, some orphans. And say they adopt some children, maybe one or two, and years go on, they later have some children of their own. Well, guess what? The adopted child has the equal rights to everything that's left to the family as the other children that were born in the family. Isn't that amazing? That equal rights, all in the same playing field, all equal. Amazing. But the spirit of adoption. You know what that means? That means when Jesus left and sent the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, back in His place, He opened up the way to anyone. I remind us again of the verse that says, whosoever will shall be saved. Opened up this way, and it says, as many as are led. It's open to anyone that wants to receive this adoption. Opens up the way. And adopts them into the family of God. Into this family where we all have equal access to the Father. We all have equal access to heaven's wealth. Whatever you need, we have equal access to it. And with this adoption comes a hope. I call it a spirit of hope and love. The spirit of bondage was a fear. And helplessness. But the spirit of adoption comes hope and love. Hope that I can be delivered of all my old sinful ways. And leave those things and be transformed and renewed in my mind. I become a new person, a new creature in Christ. To where I'm not the man I used to be. I'm not the woman I used to be. That's the old life. That's the old man. And I'm adopted into a family. A family of love. I think of it, again, thinking of fear and love. Remember the scripture that says, perfect love casteth out fear. Yes. That means a complete whole package of love where there's no selfishness involved. It's unconditional love that it casts out all fear of being rejected, of being left out. Just like I was mentioning earlier, those poor little orphans that they're rejected, the potential father and mother, they left like no hope. But we have been adopted by our Heavenly Father as sons and daughters of God that we might have hope. Not just of being delivered from the life of sin here on this earth, but that we might be delivered ultimately to a new heaven and a new earth. And this Heavenly Father, it goes on to say, whereby we cry, Abba Father. Isn't that special? If you look into that, it's basically, this is a close relationship of saying Abba Father, to where it's a relationship of a parent, okay? Because there's a lot of, father is used loosely in a lot of other references, but this is meaning your parent, your father, your daddy, okay? means there's a special divine favor and affection for you and love for you. And so you're adopted into this family because I'm not a Jew and you're not a Jew. So in the Old Testament, that's what they had. They were adopted, you know, they were into the Israelite family. But we being adopted into the family of God, the kingdom of God, and we can cry, Abba, Father. And then it goes on, verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. What does that mean? That means when you feel that love and you feel that connection in the relationship with Abba Father, that that same love and affection is family wide. All of God's children have that same freedom. They've been delivered from self and from sin. They have that same peace and contentment in their hearts, that same hope of eternal life, and that same transformation has taken place, and that same deliverance from sin, and that same joy and love for all of God's children. You feel it. It witnesses. It's like you, you could say it this way. You go into a room and, with it, just in a literal sense, where there's family, there's an instant connection in your blood family. You walk into a room, you walk into their house, it's like you just picked up where you left off. You know what I'm talking about? There's an instant connection there. But so it is with the family of God. When we all have that same Spirit of God dwelling within, there's no friction there. We're like, oh, we better watch out for them. But no, it's love, peace, and joy flowing, accepting one another for who we are. We're all children of God. And it witnesses to us. It confirms that this is real. This is the real deal. We're part of this family. I'm adopted, just like you're adopted, just like you're adopted. And we're all equal in God's sight. Thank the Lord for that. And the feeling is mutual. And it goes on. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Now, what about that? Joint heirs with Christ. What does Christ have at His disposal? And to think that we are joint heirs with Christ, we can inherit the same thing that He has. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful? We have the same access to God, to the throne of God. And it's through Jesus Christ. He made the way for us. But we can have that same, those same privileges, that same closeness to our Heavenly Father, to Daddy, that we, you could say, we could be dandled on His knees, you know, that, oh, Daddy, oh, and the Daddy's like saying, it'll be okay, son. It'll be okay, daughter. It's, I'm here. Everything's going to be all right. Isn't that a wonderful feeling to be adopted into this family, to know that on our own and out in the world, we had no chance. We're left to our own, hopeless. But God comes down and in His love, His unconditional love, comes down and woos us, all right, and draws us, what does the Scripture say, with His loving kindnesses, all the things that God does for us when we don't deserve it. You think of the Scripture that talks about God sendeth the rain on the just and the unjust, and I'm thinking, that's a powerful love. Because if I was God, it's like, well, those people aren't pleasing me, so I'm just going to send the rain on the good people here. You see what I'm saying? But God's love, because there was a time I didn't deserve rain on myself. You know what I'm saying? There was a time when none of us deserved anything good from God. But I'm thankful that through God's abounding love for all mankind, whosoever will, that we can be called into this wonderful adoption and enjoy the fellowship of God's family and be joint heirs with Christ. And if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Isn't that wonderful? That we can do this thing together. With Jesus as our brother. You understand what I'm saying? There's something special about in this family of God. There's no big I's and little U's. We're all in this together. Yes, in the body of Christ, there's different members, different functions, but it all works so smoothly with God at the head, being the Father, It's wonderful that in this family of God, that it, just think again of our literal body. It's amazing how when one little member is hurt, whether it be a little finger or a little toe or a little ear or whatever, when one member is injured, it's like your whole body tries to react and empathize and sympathizes with it and tries to protect it. There's just an instinct there. But you know, that's the same thing I feel in the body of Christ. That I've seen others that have been wounded, maybe not by something they did, maybe something that someone else did to them. And they're hurting and they're pleading and asking for help. And it's like the rest of the body of Christ wraps them in their arms of love and prays to the Heavenly Father, "Oh Lord, please have mercy on brother or sister so-and-so. Help them out in this need." Isn't that wonderful how the family of God works? I couldn't have orchestrated it. You couldn't have orchestrated it. But God, in His infinite wisdom, set up this plan of spiritual adoption that it might be made not just for a special clique of people, a special little race, but to the whole wide world. And it gives me a greater... It's like the more you enjoy this family of God, the more you want others to have the same opportunity. You know what I'm saying? I remember when I was growing up in school, and I would see other children that maybe they were an only child, or I could tell they just had a really rough home life. And I knew I had a wonderful home life. And I'm thinking, oh, if they only knew what it was like to have a real family. If they only knew, if they could come home with me and experience it for a day, they probably wouldn't want to leave. And you know, I've actually heard of stories like that, where someone would invite a child home. And I remember in the cities someone would have maybe 3 or 4 children in their own family, and all the neighborhood children would come over, and they would enjoy the warm cookies and the cold milk and the stories that the mother would tell and all these things. And the children didn't want to go home. They wanted to stay right there because they felt loved, they felt protected, they felt accepted. You know, that's the same in the family of God. God does all these things, pours out all these rich blessings on us, and it's like, wow, I don't want to leave. But you know what? You know what our commission is? Go out into all the world and preach the gospel. It's good to enjoy this fellowship, and it's good to enjoy being spiritually adopted. But the Lord wants us to go beyond that and sometimes go out of our comfort zones. I'm talking to myself too. That we would go outside of that and say, you know what? There's others out there. They need to feel and experience this too, because it's wonderful. It's the best. It's the best. It's the most fulfilling life you could ever live. Yes. Period. Dot. Yes. You can't bring anything to challenge. I don't care. $1 billion. No. I wouldn't want it. In exchange for being in the family of God and the presence of the Lord, no way. Would not trade it for anything. But I'm thankful that this way is open for you and I and for the whole wide world. So let's be encouraged tonight that we, yes, share the gospel with one another and enjoy the family, but let's share it with the rest of the world. Those that are perhaps looking and longing for this privilege, this blessing that we have with one another. You pray for me that I be faithful.